Good morning. I'm Dorothy Menefee. I'm a PhD student at Texas A&M University, and I'm going to be talking on the comparison of eddy covariance evapotranspiration and GPP, gross primary productivity measurements, to DSAT and satellite remote sensing-based simulations in dryland cotton in East Central Texas. So what is GPP, or gross primary productivity, and why is it important? A gross primary productivity is the overall rate of carbon fixation, and it's a key driver in the global and regional biogeochemical cycles of carbon and nitrogen. And estimates of the GPP can help us understand how ecosystems respond to climate factors. Most studies of GPP have focused on natural ecosystems. Although agriculture takes up 37% of the world's land area, it has had considerably less study with regards to GPP. And agricultural lands are unique because of the way that we manage them. So understanding how GPP works on agricultural lands is important. The other component that I'm talking about today is evapotranspiration, or ET. So this is the total amount of water leaving the system via both the soil evaporation and plant transpiration. And it's a major driver in energy flows, water cycles, and plant productivity. Estimating ET can improve agricultural management, particularly water management. And ET and GPP, the reason why I'm talking about both of them is because they're coupled via transpiration. So when the plant opens its stomata to take in CO2, water leaves through transpiration. So the two, ET and GPP, are tightly correlated. So this is a global map of the correlation between ET and GPP. And as you can see, in most of the productive regions of the world, there's a tight correlation between the two. So I'm going to be talking about crop simulations, and crop modeling is the use of agronomic knowledge and mathematical formulas to simulate crop growth and development. This can help improve decision making and to assess ET and GPP in areas where we don't have actual measurements, and we can also scale up measurements to a regional or nationwide scale to get a better idea of how management can affect large area fluxes. So the objectives of this project are to develop and validate a GPP model for cotton using satellite remote sensing, to develop and validate an ET model for cotton using the DSAT system, so decision support system for agrotechnology transfer software, and then to model the relationship between ET and GPP. So the proposed model that we're doing for GPP is we're doing GPP is equal to remote sensing value, so the vegetation index, times LAI, which is the leaf area index, times PAR, which is the photosynthetically active radiation. So most of the previous models have used light use efficiency, but we're replacing that with a vegetation index and with PAR. So that's the light use efficiency is going to be replaced with the remote sensing, and the fraction of PAR that's absorbed is going to be replaced with the leaf area index. So we're getting our satellite data from Planet. So Planet is a private satellite company, and they have a network of over 130 different satellites around the taking daily images, and they have a free program for students through their Research and Education Foundation. So we downloaded 12 images for 2017 and 19 for 2018, and these images were processed using NV5.3 and then converted. We took the images and convert the radiance to the top of atmospheric reflection, and then from there we can calculate the vegetation indices in each image. So the indices that we calculated were NDVI, Normalized Difference Vegetation Index, Soil Adjusted Vegetation Index, SAVI, Weighted Difference Vegetation Index, WDVI, and Enhanced Vegetation Index, or EVI2. So as a summary for how we're modeling GPP, we start with the remote sensing data from PlanetScope, and then calculate the vegetation indices, and then we get the LAI and PAR from field data. And then that comes together to form our GPP model. And then we have actual GPP measurements to compare this to through an eddy covariance flux tower. And then we have the flux tower is giving us actual GPP and actual ET, so we can compare them. So for ET, we are modeling it using the DSAT system, so Decision Support System for Agri-Technology Transfer. It's a software system that supports a wide variety of crop models, and the model that we're using is Crop Grow Cotton. So DSAT calculates ET using two different subroutines. The one that I'm going to be talking about today is the Priestley-Taylor subroutine, which uses solar radiation and temperature to calculate potential ET. And then it takes that potential ET and simulates the actual ET using the leaf area from the crop grow model and the soil information from its soil water subroutine. So if you can see on the flow chart, we have weather data and soil data, which gives us potential ET, and then the crop grow model, which gives us the plant growth, and then the soil water content gives us the available water, and DSAT uses this to calculate a simulated ET. So the model, the method summary for our ET model is we're starting with the phenology data, the meteorological data, and the soils data, and that goes into the crop grow cotton model, which simulates ET. And then we have our eddy covariance flux tower, which is how we're measuring ET, and then we're comparing the two. So our direct measurements of GPP and ET are done through eddy covariance. So we have an eddy covariance tower set up in a cotton field in East Central Texas. And this method uses the wind velocity and the gas concentration at intervals to measure the ET and CO2 exchange and ecosystem respiration. So the location of our site is in a cotton field near College Station, Texas. It gets about 1,000 millimeters of rain per year, and it's all dry land, so this cotton is not irrigated. And we have data for both 2017 and 2018. So in addition to the eddy covariance instruments, we also have standard weather instruments at the site, a temperature and relative humidity, and that radiometer, a quantum sensor, which is how we're measuring PAR, a pyranometer, and a tipping bucket rain gauge. And we also have some soil instruments, which helps us with our energy balance because we can get the soil heat flux. So on to our results. This is the results for NDVI for 2017. This is just the index, not the actual model. So 2017, 2018, and then for SAVI, 2017 and 2018, and then for WDVI, 2017 and 2018, and for EVI, 2017 and 2018. And in all of the indices, you can kind of notice that they peak towards the middle of the season, and that is expected because that's when plant growth is highest. So we also have our actual GP data. So this is for 2017, with the y-axis being the GPP and the x being the day of year. And then this is for 2018. As you notice, they're slightly different. So just different weather conditions each year. So these are our 2017 models for GPP. On the y-axis of each chart is the daily measured GPP, and on the x-axis is the model. So that is the vegetation index times the leaf area index times PAR, and that gives us a curve. So ideally, we're actually looking for a one-to-one line. However, the only index where we get that for cotton is with the NDVI index. And then for 2018, we took the equations. So if you notice, there's an equation on each chart giving the relationship. We took those equations and plugged in the model value, so the NDVI times LAI times PAR. And again, here we're looking for a one-to-one ratio. So on the y-axis is the measured GPP, and on the x-axis is the modeled GPP. And we only really see a one-to-one ratio with NDVI, so that's the one in the top corner there. So if we look at the model validation statistics, again, we see that the NDVI performed reasonably, but the other three performed fairly poorly, which suggests that we need to do something to modify this model so that it works better with cotton. We have been using this model with corn and with sorghum, and it worked a bit better with those. So moving on to the ET model, the plant height model, we calibrated the ET model using the phenology data that we collected in the field, so plant height and cotton leaf area. And once we're confident that the model is accurately estimating the plant growth, we can then move on and look at the ET model. So this is the plant growth model for 2018. And then once we have that, we go ahead and calculate an energy balance. So on the y-axis is Le plus H measured at the tower, and then on the x-axis is Rn minus G. Ideally, you'd want an exact one-to-one ratio. However, it's not uncommon to have a little bit off. So we have instead of a slope of 1, we have a slope of 0.76, which indicates there's a bit of unaccounted energy, and we can actually take that unaccounted energy and split it between Le and H based on the Bowen ratio to get a better idea of the actual ET in the field. So this is the 2017 ET model. The simulated is the blue line, and the measured is the green line. And the bars represent rainfall, because sometimes rainfall can cause spikes in ET, so it's oftentimes a good idea to look at ET model with the rainfall data. And then this is for 2018. And these are our model statistics. So the 2017 model slightly underestimated the data. So if you look at the CRM index, ideally the CRM should be exactly zero. However, since it's slightly negative, that means it's underestimating. And then in the next year, it's slightly positive, which means there's an overestimation. And we have a better agreement with the D index and the R squared for 2018 than we do for 2017. So finally, what we're doing now that we have both GP and ET is that we're looking at the two of them together. So we have ET on the y-axis and GPP on the x. And here we can calculate a relationship between ET and GPP to get an idea of how much water cotton uses per gram of carbon uptake. So in ours, we had a use of 2.3 millimeters of water per gram of carbon uptake. So you'll get different amounts based on whether you're irrigated or dry land. And I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated, USDA NEFA, Planet for this work, along with our student workers and Texas A&M Soil and Crop Sciences.
Really nice presentation, thank you. Would you give us the dummy's version of how an eddy covariance sample works?
So the
I see all the prongs sticking out.
Yeah, so the one with the prongs sticking out, that's the sonic anemometer, and it's measuring wind speed and direction. And then the other instrument is the IRGA, so it's the infrared gas analyzer, and it's measuring gas concentration. So then you take the covariance between the wind velocity and the gas concentration, and that can give you a flux of gas, so how much is moving up or down.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah?
That was really interesting. I'm curious, and I'm actually speaking in two, the second speaker away, so, and I'm also doing any covariance. So.
Yeah, we were able to get quite a few pixels per field. So when we started doing this, we were using MODIS. So MODIS is it's a USGS and NASA satellite, and it's available for free and because it's the U.S. government. However, the pixel size is really large, so we figured we'd get better data if we went to a smaller pixel size. However, most of the satellites that have smaller pixels, like Planet, are private. However, we found out through one of a fellow student that Planet does have a free program for students, because otherwise it's pretty costly to get access to data from Planet or from any other private satellite company. So once you have that data access, I think I get like 10,000 kilometers a month, square kilometers a month, that I can download. and you just select the area and download the images, and then it works pretty much like any other image in Envy. You just see a little bit. You can kind of sometimes see areas where I didn't see a whole lot of spatial variability across the field in cotton, but I did something similar in corn, and you could actually see using the Envy pixel values where the hogs had damaged part of the cornfield. So you could actually see that area, which is kind of interesting.
All right, thank you.